This week, the MPP offers Edward Snowden asylum.
Welcome to the Midwest peace process.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I have the pleasure to present to you now. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I have the pleasure to present to you
the Midwest peace process.
The world is very different now.
The Midwest peace.
To remind
process.
America of the fierce urgency of now. 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 Now.
Welcome to episode 61. Today is July 12th, 2013. I'm Jerry.
I'm Jeremy.
And this is Rob.
And we have a special guest with us this evening, our friend Jordan.
Yay!
Hey.
Hey. Jordan's in the middle of a cheeseburger, so we'll let him finish his meal while we start talking here. So we are on location once again at Granite City Food and Brewery. Thank them for hosting us.
Even though they don't know they're hosting us?
Yeah, even though they don't know. No, they know. They know who we are.
They know who we are.
We're a big deal.
That's right. We're kind of a big deal now. We get free food sometimes.
That they cook for other people.
That's right.
But we'll say it's because it's us.
Sure. Why not? Okay, so this episode we are going to talk about commercialism versus patriotism. That's kind of our main event, and this is an idea Rob had, and we'll see how good it is.
It's not great.
First of all, we're going to talk about how Rob had an idea.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk
That's
about
right. We're going to discuss how amazing that was.
And I wrote it down beforehand. Not bad.
It is
big.
It is staggering. Okay, so we're also going to cover some listener feedback. We got a fair amount of feedback from our last episode. And then, I don't know, we'll probably talk about a couple of the big stories in the news, like Edward Snowden and the George Zimmerman trial, which just wrapped up today. So we'll make some predictions there. But first, I'll hand it off to Rob here. He can throw some random thoughts out there, and we'll see where it takes us.
It's one of my classic random thoughts kind of
thing.
So of course, we just finished the July 4th weekend,
right?
Where we all feel patriotic for a weekend.
Absolutely.
Or just drink beer. And
or as I like to call it, Dependence Day.
So this little moment happened. So I walk outside my house, and there's a little flag by my mailbox. Oh, that's nice. I look up and down the neighborhood, flag by all the mailboxes. Wow, that's great. How about that on the patriotic weekend?
Yeah.
I would take my kid out there. So I take
Is it
my,
in the ground?
It was in the ground, in the pretty firmly back. Attached into the ground.
In cement.
So I take my daughter out there, and we go and we look at the flag, and I start telling her about the country, and she knows the flag means USA. She's already got the USA, USA chant now. That's step one. So we pull the flag out because we want to look at it. Oh, it's not just a flag. What's attached to that? Oh, it's a business card. Compliments of some real estate agent who's trying to stake her claim in our neighborhood as being the main person to go to. Compliments of this lady. I don't want to say this lady's name. Boy, I kind of do.
So, I want you to tell me your name off the air. I don't want her to get any publicity, but
I'll tell you.
She needs to be found and blackballed.
Right. And okay, so you have the agent that's trying to work your neighborhood, and they're gonna put the home listings and say they're the one to go to and sold fast and whatever else they do. That's
right.
Fine. But somehow, the fact that she attached this to the flag, and why was the flag there? What was the purpose of the flag? In this instance, for me, I thought the flag was just a vehicle. It was an advertising vehicle for her to get her cards around. She didn't do it out of love for the country. She just did it so that she could put her card on there. I was like, is this offensive? Is this poor taste, or is this A-OK? I talked to my conservative brother. He's like, A-OK. I don't know.
Just because you serious?
Because he loves the flag. I don't know. Maybe he just wants to disagree with anything that I said. But maybe I shouldn't be offended by such a thing. Another example that I come up with that I think I mentioned before, is I'm somehow fascinated with this idea that we like to put flags on cell phone towers. It's like nobody really wants a cell phone tower right in their neighborhood. Nobody really wants a really big flagpole either. But if you say, hey, how about this? How about we stick a flag on that cell phone tower? Yeah, let's zone that up, you know? And so that's why you see flags all over the place. It's not because the country has somehow become more patriotic. We just need more cell phone towers.
Right.
And we've gotten more ingenious about putting our commerce in a pole-shaped vehicle that we can attach a flag to.
I don't know if I see where you're going with the flags on cell phone towers. In California, they had cell phone towers that were shaped like evergreen trees, so they really blended in. It was actually
Joshua
a good
trees.
Idea. I think that's a good idea. I think that somehow the jamming a flag on there. But so here's where it gets deep. Here's where it gets deep.
Lay it on us.
Like maybe me being offended, which I'm not really that offended, just sort of like a queasy feeling in the stomach. Maybe that's just naivete. Maybe that's exactly what America is. Maybe that's the perfect symbol of America. This flag used for commerce. Because the only thing that mattered to that real estate agent was getting her name out and making more money for herself. And it was attached to a flag. And maybe that's what America is.
I don't think it is.
Uh-oh, Jordan's got some thoughts. Oh, everybody's fired up about my...
So what's the difference between putting your business card on an American flag or someone on a talent show singing the national anthem? Because they're trying to promote themselves while being attached to America.
Ooh, see, as a classically trained individual, as I am. See, I think the national anthem is a super hard song to sing. So I think it's like a challenge.
It's a litmus test.
Well, most people screw it up, or they bastardize it, and their voice is all over the place.
Right.
And just sing the
or
song.
Or they forget the lyrics.
Or I'll tell you where I don't get offended. Like when I'm drinking my can of Bud and it's got a flag on it, I'm like, that's awesome. And they donate 2 cents to Folds of Honor, $15 million. And so so Anheuser-Busch gives $15 million to Folds of Honor every time you buy a can with a flag on it. Anheuser-Busch InBev. Thanks, Belgium.
The Clydesdale actually personally delivered the scholarships.
Nice. How about that?
They do. I've read it.
So
it's in a ceremony, of course. They don't come to your house.
Apollo
Crap in
the front. I mean, Anheuser-Busch InBev is not. They don't put some random factors in their budget about how much they're going to give. You know, they pretty much have $15 million that they want to give, and they're given the $15 million no matter. I mean, they probably give it if nobody bought a single can. You know,
right?
But it nice advertising campaign works well. Somehow it doesn't bother me. I don't know why. But somehow the flag, I don't know. The flag.
Maybe because with the AB thing, I'm making a choice to buy that beer, and I know what I'm buying is going to do that. So I'll make a little bit of a choice. But the thing with the real estate agent is offensive to me, and for a couple reasons. One, who said you were allowed to put anything in my yard? Stay out of my yard.
Get out of my yard!
What's more American than get your stuff off?
I think that's my only issue. Well, personally.
You're so old.
I am old.
It was a one tiny stick by my mailbox. I mean, it's not like it took me a long time to clean up. But, okay.
Okay, so maybe if she wanted to do something to really... She was just really patriotic and wanted to put flags around, fine. But then tagging your business card on there, that really bothers me. And I don't think... Rob, forgive me for saying, but you like to tag the American capitalism. That's what America is, you know, capitalism at all costs, and that's the symbol of America. I don't agree with that. I think it's becoming that within, say, the last 30 years maybe. It's becoming more like that. I don't think that's the way capitalism originally was, and I don't like that it's moving that direction.
This is where we agree more, kind of on a more fundamental nature than about probably anything else, is that we talk about the evils of society and the ills of society, and we got parents out of wedlock, and we got kids that don't study in school, and these liberals with their Obama phones. I mean, it's like we know the standard tripes of evils of society. We get it. We know it all. But and so for me as liberal guy, I don't really. And I'm kind of sick of like all these dirty Republicans and, you know, the dirty Democrats. That's not so much it. What I think is kind of insidious and going on in the nation is our. It's almost like it's not so much that the right wants to get the country to believe in God and Jesus. It's almost like they want to get it to believe in dollars and commerce, and that will save everything. You just need to believe in commercialism. And so this flag with the thing on, with the business card on, seemed like just another, it was like a swindle.
That was probably the other thing why I got mad, was that it seemed like it was just like anything.
You know, you're tying this into the Republicans?
No! I think
it feels like you just did. And can you explain what insidious means and what that word means? This is a big word.
It's a little deceitful harm.
Okay. Not insidious. Insidious.
Jerry's nodding.
Insidious.
Like,
isn't
insidious
kind of
is like
a tree.
Yeah. It's like a cell phone tower.
It's like deciduous, but different.
Or like insidious.
Yeah. Right.
We'll go.
I mean, and really, on a much more basic level, what really bothered me was it was like anything in life that had nothing to do with politics or patriotism. It was a gift that wasn't a gift.
Right.
It was something nice that was really meant to.
If you say courtesy of or compliments of, it's not
that's
really
what it
compliments
said.
Of.
It's okay? A compliments of.
Well, right. Then if you're really giving something right. complimentary,
right.
you don't say.
Was compliments it, of. Was right. it tied to the bottom or was it on the flag itself?
No, it wasn't like stuck on the stars.
She spelled it out in stars.
But you mentioned before that there was a Food Network, like one of the shows that Jordan loves, where they talk about a lot of decorating.
Yes,
and
yes.
HGTV,
oh,
where they put the they
flag,
used
is
a, right,
the
flag
a
is a tablecloth.
Oh yeah, that, yeah, that big backlash, and for no reason.
All right, but yet, I mean, there's flag ornaments, there's flags on my car, there's flags with an eagle,
there's
and
flag
like,
underwear.
And I do love a good flag. I do love.
All right, so I gotta take issue here with a couple of things.
I like the flag bikini too. I just heard that.
First of all,
stars and stripes.
First of all, we talked last episode about how I don't pledge allegiance to the flag anymore. And part of that is because, you know, the flag is not what everybody claims it is. It's a logo for the United States of America Incorporated, right? That's essentially what it is.
Incorporated?
Yeah. I mean, the corporation known as the United States of America, we have a logo. It's, you know,
the Army is
stars and stripes. So I just think that You're being very romantic and nostalgic when you talk about the flag and those.
Okay,
terms.
But how did you get to be romantic and nostalgic? It used to mean something.
I think it used to. It doesn't anymore.
Well, that's the problem, though. The flag isn't the problem. The fact that it doesn't mean what it used to is
okay,
the problem.
Okay, but you can't go back. I don't think you can put that genie back in the bottle. I think we're beyond that.
That's what I want, though. I want the genie.
Okay, but here's my other thing.
Is that a song, Genie in the Bottle?
You
rub me the right way, baby.
You just said that it offends you that they would use the flag in advertising. Well, okay, I'm paraphrasing now. What exactly is it that offends you?
I don't. That's hard to say. It's hard to say because I'm not always offended. I think it was a combination of things that this lady took a flag on the 4th of July. Stuffed her business card on it and stuck it in my yard.
Yeah.
And look how nice it'd be. Plant
right.
the flag in your yard that you own that
so it's just
I'm trying to take from you.
The crass commercialism
yeah.
of it.
I don't mind 4th of July, though. Like, 4th of July is the celebration of our independence. All right. But she would have done that on Memorial Day or a Veterans Day and said in memory of, without like a in lieu of donation or something. Like, that is, I mean, it's a perfect marketing tool. It's 4th of July. I mean, she didn't, like you said, put the business card on the stars and stripes.
Well, what if
she
did?
At the bottom. My only thing is that she actually came in my yard and put it in my front yard. Besides that,
well,
I have no problem.
What if she had? I mean, let's say she'd had these flags printed up special.
And
that
stapled
had,
her business card
had,
on it?
No, had the flag printed with her name and her contact information,
like
on
all
the
stripes. White
stripes. Yeah.
What's the difference between that and someone going door to door and actually just knocking on your door and asking if you want to buy siding?
Because, I mean, where I'm going with this is...
I don't like when they do that either.
How do you feel about burning the flag?
As a form of protest?
For any reason.
Well, the old rule, okay, if it touches the ground, you need to burn it.
Well, yeah. I mean, besides the fact that United States Code requires flags to be burned, we'll ignore that for the moment, but...
To me, it's a very trite and almost annoying symbol when somebody's protesting something and they burn the flag. Like, oh, congratulations.
It's a little bit on the nose, right? Not too subtle.
But are you offended by that?
I'm offended that they're such an idiot.
Okay.
That's what offends me.
But compare that now to using the flag to advertise something. Which do you think is worse if you had to rank them in terms of...
I think commerce is worse.
Really?
Because it's a symbol of one of the ills of our society, where it feels like everything we hold sacred in society really is only sacred if it has a commercial purpose. And that's my liberal complaint. We are coming to a state where we only, or if you listen to what I think is the right wing, we only value things that make money. We only value things that make profit. If thing B makes two times profit as thing A, it is now twice as good because the only thing that matters is money and profit. So there is no moral sense of value or any sense of good and evil or any sense of a quality career well worked or a slack ass job that somebody just does. Like, there's a moral, like a quality job should be above that. But we're losing even the fact that that's even above it because look at this guy who does nothing and just made $1 million on his capital gains. He's a job creator. You know, it's like we're holding up money over actual doing things.
Okay. So what could she have done? Like,
so this is a symptom of that. What's
your suggestion here?
It's a symbol of that.
Like, are you saying that she should have actually had a commercial as opposed to putting flags out? Or she should have, like, donated? Or I mean...
Yeah, she could have, like, wrapped herself in the flag.
And ran door to door.
How's everyone doing?
Right. Yeah.
Kevin, are you doing? Are you the Northern?
Yeah.
I'll take the big one, Brother Benedict.
I can bring it.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Benny?
I'll take a Brother Benedict small one.
Small one? So Benny or Benny. May I get this glass out of the way?
Sure.
What could she have done?
I don't know.
Not put her business card on there and just, if you want to do it, just go do it.
Pass out flyers that you're going to get irritated at either way on your front door?
No, right. I don't like that either.
I know what I'm saying. You're going to think you don't like that.
No, I meant pass out, put the flags in. If you're trying to...
Yeah.
Is that any better or worse than when they rubber band a flyer to your doorknob?
With no flag?
Well, that's what I'm asking.
But a rubber band on my doorknob, now I got to take the thing off and throw it away, but it's honest. It's authentic. I know what that rubber band on the thing is. It's something I don't want to read. I know what it is. You know? A flag in my mailbox. No. Hey, it's a flag.
So you're upset horse. That, yeah, she
I got
tricked you.
Into I got tricked.
It's a Trojan horse of advertising.
Exactly that.
And then
it gives it your weakest moment.
It's right. It's about the flute. Oh, no. Flute to real estate agent. What's happening?
It's the kid from A Christmas Story when he discovers the secret messages before Ovaltine.
That's exactly what it was.
Exactly. Little Annie.
But I don't get annoyed when I see a store having a 4th of July sale. You know, they play a commercial on TV and it's 4th of July sale and there's a flag waving.
Yeah, of course.
For whatever reason. I don't think, I better get to this 4th of July sale, but something is different. Something.
Have you ever noticed that it's always a white sale on the 4th of July weekend? Why has it got to be a white sale?
Why do the white players have to move first in chess? You ever think about that?
Yeah.
Typical.
All right. We're gonna ponder those and other thoughts while we take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Oh, Brass Rail Flares. Performance at Lindenwood University, July 25th, 26th, which is my birthday, 27th, and 28th in Belgo.
All right.
And it's a good show. Actually, the Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, the two guys are really good. of being Dirty Rotten's Eye.
All right, well, we'll give it a plug.
It was good chatting with you guys.
Yeah, thank you very much.
We are back. And yes, that was some interesting break conversation. It did involve my testicles. That's all I'm going to say. All right, we got some listener feedback since the last episode. Our listener Eric had this to say about the last episode. I think Jeremy made the best points in this episode. One part that stuck out to me was the discussion of whether or not Obama's campaign promise of more transparency was anything more than just political rhetoric. I think a strong majority of people would disagree with Rob and agree with Jeremy and say that it was. Sure, hope and change is just a nice jingle, but how about I'm going to close Guantanamo Bay? Where do you draw the line? Hope and Change didn't really specify what was going to change, but more transparency carries certain expectations with it, and I don't think those expectations have been realized.
I think worse, they've gone the opposite direction farther.
So the right must be thrilled.
Oh yeah, they're just thrilled.
All right, before I get all cynical, Eric made some good points and stuck a little dagger in the heart, so Jeremy up on the pedestal. We'll give Jeremy his little...
Give Jeremy his props.
Anyway, while the recording was off, this lady said, what did she say?
I don't remember.
Smart man.
And pointed at Jeremy.
Something directly related to what I said. So
something has to be amiss.
Are we still working with this?
No, we're all done with that.
Oh, this one slice here.
Yes, we are. You want that slice?
No, I'm good.
Too much. Shoot.
But if you really want to get cynical and gross,
thanks.
If Obama's on the campaign trail in 2008, 2007, 2008, whatever it was. And talking about closing Guantanamo Bay, the anger is the right? He's going to close Guantanamo Bay. We need that Guantanamo Bay.
Right. Because that's where we're keeping all them terrorists.
It made the left happy, and it made the center people who are undecided say, yeah, we like the way this guy's moving.
Right. Okay, so what has happened now? We still have Guantanamo Bay, and now we're force feeding. So the right should give a big high five to Obama and say, good job, right? They're big fans of 2008 Guantanamo.
See, you're just changing it, though. You're just trying to obfuscate the discussion. He said he was going to close it. It's not closed.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. So the left should be mad and the right should be happy.
Well, okay. Appear to be too pissed off.
But this is obviously not the first time a campaign promise has been...
No, and it won't be the last.
Right. So...
And this and
so are we saying that Obama's worse at this than other presidents? I mean, is it noticeably worse?
No.
Okay.
I'm saying other presidents, in my opinion, have been taken to task for not fulfilling campaign promises.
Sure.
This president is not.
Didn't we just take him to task right here?
Well,
we did. The two of us,
and our myriad listeners.
Two and a half taking the task, and you trying to push it off on the right, saying, "Well, they're not congratulating him, so they're wrong." In the media, he's not being taken to task. These questions are not being answered.
I'll grant it.
Okay, but Eric's point was not so much about Guantanamo Bay. He was just using that as an example. It's more about the promise of transparency. And what I think what he's saying is that that's a more concrete promise than just hope and change. There are some expectations tied to that. More transparency means I'm going to see more of how the sausage is made in Washington. And I don't know. Have we seen that?
No. And in fact, they've made efforts to further disguise how the sausage was made.
Well, yeah.
And the Freedom of Information Act article where now they don't... They can lie about...
Right, I'll put that in the show notes. there's a link to a proposed change to the Freedom of Information Act rules that would allow the government to lie about the existence of documents. And so obviously, if they could do that, it basically guts the Freedom of Information Act. I mean, what's the point if they can just say, oh, that document doesn't exist? So, yeah.
That's a whole other topic, though, because I can get into that and I can talk about what, I mean, what should be out there and what shouldn't be out there. I just don't think there's certain things that should ever be divulged. I don't care whose business it is. As a taxpaying citizen, I don't think it's my business. I don't see any way for us to know certain things that go on.
But you're paying for it. You don't want to know what the money's being spent on?
Certain things, it's the underbelly of America.
Okay. So here's where I insert the Jack Nicholson speech from A Few Good Men. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
Yeah, I mean, with the Snowden thing, people have said, well, does the government ever have a right to keep any secrets? You know, they take it to the extreme.
Yeah,
well, extreme to me, perfect for you.
Obviously, but my take is you don't need government, so that eliminates the debate over whether or not they can keep secrets.
Right.
Get rid of the government, and you don't have that problem anymore.
So to dive down the Jerry rabbit hole.
Okay.
Like, If there wasn't a government, there'd be a shadowy private organization that would be in charge of security and screwing the security organizations of others.
And there'd probably still be intelligence agencies that just wouldn't be funded with tax money. They'd be funded by people who want the information and want it badly enough they're going to pay for it.
Okay, Pinkerton.
Well, yeah.
Secured. But back in the day, the Wild Wild West, they were essentially guilty of siding with certain parties and doing some dirty stuff against innocent people.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's your example.
There you go.
We're
going to
go all
you.
The way back to those.
Smart
days,
man.
Smart man. Smart man. But
I am not saying that, you know, just because it's a private company that they're going to be angels and they're never going to, you know.
Of course not.
But the government is supposed to be angels and awesome.
But the point is, Jordan doesn't care if his tax money is being spent on, you know, clandestine operations that may or may not be legal. That's fine. But I do.
Mm-hmm.
So what is my recourse if I, you know, I can't say, well, I'm not going to pay for that.
Right. And
I don't get that option.
If you try to not do that, you get thrown in prison.
I get put in a cage.
You cannot possibly outspend.
But I can't stop my tax money from going to the zoo or the science center.
That's right.
I mean, whatever.
That's right. You hate dinosaurs.
And that's my point exactly. Since you don't get to dictate how your tax money is used, there should be no tax money. You pay for what you want to pay for. You buy the things you want. You pay for the services you use. And that's it.
This is why we don't talk politics. All right.
Jerry's world is like it's a fantasy world of unicorns and rainbows.
It is not a fantasy.
It is
not a fantasy.
It takes a while to let it sink in.
You gotta let it sink in, then you have to try to imagine what it looks like.
Well, picture like gray clouds and, you know, destroyed buildings.
Like the Matrix?
The real Matrix?
That's what I mean. I think of Jerry at the middle, like, finally we made it.
There's some merit to what he's saying. Yes, I don't think you could ever get it to function the way the ideal of what you believe.
Right.
Just like our ideals will not function either.
Right, exactly.
But there are pieces of it that would be helpful, beneficial, and, I don't know, correct, for lack of a better term.
And I've said this before on the show, anarchism is not a system. Okay. It's not something. More importantly, it is a rejection of systemic evil. It's a rejection of any system that uses coercion to achieve its goals. Okay, it says that all transactions should be voluntary, including government, whatever form of government you choose to have. It needs to be voluntary. So
it's not what we have now at all.
No, it's not.
Government
now you can say it won't work, but that's like saying, okay, who's going to pick the cotton if we free all the slaves? That's not going to work. Well, you don't do it because it works. Well, you do it because it's morally correct.
Right?
I mean, you free the slaves because it's immoral to keep slaves. You get rid of government because government is immoral. And
reach it.
And you let the chips fall where they may as a result.
Right. And that's where it gets...
That's anarchism in a nutshell.
That's where it gets interesting, is where do the chips fall?
Yeah. Well, it is interesting.
Out there, I'm slowly nodding my head, because I kind of agree, but... not entirely.
Yeah. And at the same time, he's scooting away from the crazy guy in the middle of the table.
No, it's... Government now is not... I read the headlines, and all I see is all this petty bickering and people trying to do what they want to do. It's not representative of almost anything.
But isn't that... Don't you, if you were to think about the Matrix and twist our perspective a little bit, isn't that perfectly representative of what the country is? Little pockets of people just trying to get ahead, little pockets of House of Representatives people that are just trying not to get primaried from the right and the left, staking out the most extreme positions they can so they can get elected, and then all going to Washington and beating their chests and making big stinks. Maybe that is what our country is all about. Maybe it's a perfect... It's like the internet.
I don't even understand what you just said.
What about this metaphor? I love this thought. This is a great thought about the... What about the internet? Don't you wish, like if you were able to communicate the thoughts of people around the world, you would think the internet would just be full of the best thoughts of the world, and everybody would be a rocket scientist. No, it's just kittens and porn, right?
Right.
The internet is kittens and porn. And so is that the internet's fault, or is it just a reflection of what humans like?
I agree. You get the government that you deserve.
Right. And we have a House of Representatives that's built specifically to be a high turnover, small district system that is meant to respond to a small group of people.
So there's a link in the show notes to this YouTube video I just watched today that's really disturbing. I don't know if you guys remember The Man Show.
Yes, used to be great on
Comedy
show. Central.
Jimmy Kimmel and Adam Carolla.
Yeah,
when it was great, when it was Doug Stanhope and Joe Rogan.
So one of their very first episodes, they did this bit where they went out to a mall or a beach or something, and they were asking people to sign a petition to end women's suffrage. Yes.
Annie Milonakis.
And it was a great bit.
Yeah.
And it relied on the fact that most of the people they run into are too stupid to know what suffrage is.
Right.
So they hear that and they think, oh, women's suffrage, yeah, that's bad. We got to end that, you know. Okay, so this guy does this video where he goes up and he asks people, hey, will you support President Obama and repeal the Bill of Rights? You know, because that's what he's attempting to do is repeal the Bill of Rights. So we just want to show our support for him and his endeavor. And, you know, he's getting a ton of people to sign this petition because they hear him say, hey, will you support President Obama?
Right.
And they stop listening at that point, and then they either say yes or no.
Right.
They don't even need to hear the rest of the question. It's, you know, support President Obama? Yeah, I'll do that, sure.
Right.
He's clubbing, you know, baby seals. Will you support President Obama?
Well, that's a really good analysis of that thing. Because it's not really, and all those things, of course, they don't show the video of the guy going, no, the Bill of Rights is great.
Well, they did, actually, at the very end. They run into one guy who's like, why the hell would I do that? You know, he's like, I took an oath to support, you know, to uphold and defend the Constitution. I'm not going to, you know.
Jay Leno All-Stars?
Yeah, right. The jaywalking
segment. You could ask some conservative, like, do you support President Obama's, you know, effort to support, you know, to add more guns as legal guns, you know, whatever it would be.
Right, right.
You know, he'd be like, I'm supporting that. You're right. It's about everybody staking their claim.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't. Yeah, I would invite Jeremy to rethink his thoughts about government, about the way it's working, being somehow misrepresentative of the people. Maybe it's the perfect representation of our crappy country.
Well,
I don't think it, I think it's your flag example. I think government is your flag in the yard example with the business card attached to it.
Okay.
That's what they're doing. They distract the people with this
with the flag,
flag and then they tag something onto it. It's any
right.
any of the bills with all the pork attached to it.
Right.
We can get people who want to be authentic. We can eliminate the people who are distracted by
but
the shiny
you're
object.
Acting as if this has been my cynical nature. You're acting as if authenticity matters.
Yeah, well, it doesn't because you've got a bunch of morons that vote against women's suffrage and you know the Bill of Rights. You can't represent people like that.
No, you can't. That's authenticity does matter. If I'm trying to do something underhanded, then I can get away with it with a certain group of people. But if I'm being authentic, and I'm telling people exactly what I'm trying to do, and here's how it might help you, here's how it might hurt you, then even the stupid people can make a decision.
I like your vision. So are you saying do the Freedom of Information Act? Go back to that. Are you saying that you don't want the you want to know what the government's doing all the time?
No, I don't want to know what they're doing all the time. Do you, I don't think I know, and I. But Freedom of Information Act has certain limitations
yeah,
on
of course.
It. There's a time.
There's a timestamp.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So I don't believe I should be able to call them up and say, "Hey, what's SEAL Team 6 doing tomorrow?"
Yeah. After so many years, becomes the class guy,
yeah,
et cetera.
But Jerry's view, we shouldn't have SEAL Team 6.
Right.
But yeah, it was, in an anarchist society, war wouldn't happen.
No, it would. But it would be a much, much smaller scale than what we have today.
It would be,
because
Fox News?
Well,
it would be, I have a dispute with you, so we are going to war, not...
Yeah. Right.
My
because,
army that I own.
Yeah.
Because Bill Gates is not going to fund a war. And he's, you know, he's the richest guy on the planet. He's the guy who could actually afford an operation like Afghanistan.
Yeah.
But he couldn't afford it for more than a few days,
no.
right? And then he'd be broke.
Yeah.
So that would not go on in the absence of government.
But don't you think a market, what do you think about the economics that a market with no rules creates large entities? You believe that's a true statement? It's like almost like a thermodynamic equation. Like given players in a system, and you let the system run, does it not create monopolies? Does it not create trust?
No. I believe you have to have a government in place to create a monopoly because the big players in any given market are going to lobby Congress to make the rules such that the little guy has some kind of hurdle he's got to jump over to enter the market.
I don't believe that at all.
Well, then you're wrong because that's happening now.
That's happening now. But I think without that, if you own all the power lines in an area, I think you can charge whatever you want for those power lines.
Well, yeah.
And sure, somebody else could build all the capital and try to take you out. But hey, you could hire your own army and go.
But that's expensive.
I think a market system with no regulation creates monopolies. Maybe we need to go read some economic papers to see if that's a true statement.
Somebody puts in power lines, they charge what they want. I decide I don't want to pay that, so I'm going to build a windmill, make my own power. Well, now they say, no, we have to approve your windmill because somebody at the power company wanted them to say,
you're over-extrapolating what I'm saying.
I'm not saying that it's over-extrapolating, which isn't a word.
It is today. Right now, it is.
You are misunderstanding.
Yeah.
I'm not making any sense. That's a whole separate thing of advocating what government does. That's a whole separate government. What I'm saying is, in the absence of government, you will have monopoly systems. I think groups will get together and create larger and larger entities where they can price gouge. Like, think of baseball collusion. When Andre Dawson, I'll tell you all about baseball collusion. So Andre Dawson, for example, in a system that wasn't regulated, Andre Dawson was a free agent. He wanted this money. He was worth, his free market value was worth some N number of millions of dollars.
But all the baseball owners, they all colluded together and said, hey, how about nobody just pays this guy, and it'll keep our costs down. And sure enough, they paid him, you know, like, why am I only making $2 million? I'm more than $8 million. Why isn't anybody buying me for $3 million or $4 million? Well, it's because they all got together. Well, of course they would. Why wouldn't you all get together if you're all the baseball owners? Why wouldn't you?
Well,
but that's
you wouldn't.
That's collusion. That's collusion. Okay. And it's not a free market.
But where's the incentive for one of those members of the colluding parties to just jump ship and get that guy?
But it's not what happened. And you know what did happen?
You're not answering his question.
What?
You're right.
Why isn't there incentive?
That could happen, but that's not what happened for poor Andre Dawson. He only got $2 million.
Okay.
It didn't happen. They all said, and maybe they say, hey, if you go jump ship, we're going to pop
in. But he could have not played. He could have decided, you know what, I'm not going to play. And then nobody will have my talent, so I'm going to go do something else. And
no,
then somebody gets desperate enough, maybe they'll break from the rest and pay me.
All right, I think we might be getting somewhere, because what did happen? What did happen?
The Cubs still didn't win the World Series. That's what happened.
And now he's stuck in the Ivy in the State Farm commercial. It's a great commercial. You know what did happen? They found out that the baseball owners were colluding. And they said, you can't do that. And they fined all the owners, and they put rules in place that said you couldn't do that.
Who's
and
that?
The Major League Baseball, which is the government of baseball.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Major League Baseball, Faye Vincent came in and said, you can't.
Oh, Faye Vincent.
Faye Vincent.
There's a gem.
Plus, his name is Faye. He said, you can't do that. And what happened to player salaries? They went skyrocketing.
Okay.
Why? Why? Here's, all right. We're coming to the big conclusion.
And then why
did they go skyrocketing?
Because baseball is a protected monopoly by the federal government.
No, I'm talking about baseball internally.
I'm just throwing that out there.
It is. I'm talking internally into baseball. Take Major League Baseball's government.
What
happened?
Steroids happened. Performance enhancing drugs happened. Because then they had to keep
one up each other.
Now they're afraid of this conclusion.
Because you know what happened?
No, what happened?
You know what happened? Player salaries skyrocketed. Why? Because Albert Pujols, when he made his $250 million contract, you know why he made $250 million? Because he was worth $250
million. No, he's not. Look at his numbers now.
But somebody was willing to pay.
That's right. And
million.
Have they won?
No, I'm not talking about results. That's the Angels being stupid. What I'm saying is,
whoa.
You just said
he was worth that. So how is that
stupid?
He was
worth it in the market. So what created that market that allowed him to outbid other players? What created that? Regulation by baseball. QED, done, checkmate, and we're out.
Okay.
Regulation creates a free market. Regulation makes the market happen.
Sure.
You let the market.
Salaries are going up. What else is going up? Ticket prices, food prices, parking prices, everything else.
Merchandise.
Now, what's going to happen then? People can't afford to go to the baseball game. So attendance goes down. Then what happens? Hey, we don't have any money. Clubs start folding. Prices come down again. Salaries come down again.
And you know what that is? That's a market. That's a market. And what created that market was reasonable regulation. Andre Dawson was worth $8 million.
Okay.
And the owners got together and altered the market between themselves and colluded to make him worth less.
I will give you all of that because I don't really care to argue it. But it's still a private organization making rules to govern the members of that organization.
Right.
Which I have no problem with.
No, I'm using it as a metaphor.
I understand.
I don't really care about baseball itself. I do care about baseball. But I don't really care that baseball is a private org. What I'm saying is that it took a central authority over all of baseball to make baseball the free market that it is.
Okay, but baseball itself is a monopoly.
Baseball inside of the larger system is a monopoly.
Well, and that was my point earlier. You would have other baseball leagues cropping up and competing with MLB for people's dollars if they were allowed to do that. And they're not allowed to do that because the government has sanctioned them.
I'll grant you all of that. I think.
Okay, so we're both right.
No, you're talking about baseball as an entity in a larger system. I was talking about baseball as a system into itself.
Okay.
And it's an example of, and I'm trying to extrapolate that up to the larger world. Where the front office of baseball had to put regulations in place about what the players could do
Understood.
And what the owners could do to make the system thrive in a free market manner. If they didn't do anything, the owners just colluded with themselves in a back room with a cigar, and it made baseball worse.
But it's not a free market.
was. It tried to make it, it's more of a free market now than it was when there were owners commuting. Right? Because Albert Pujols...
A free market means that you do whatever the customer will pay for.
Right, so Andre
Dawkins... There are no rules. The only rule is that you make money. That's a free market.
So,
imposing regulations.
So the collusion of the owners that screwed Andre Dawson out of millions was a free market because that's what the market was owners with money.
Right.
Yes, it's the old theorem that often said about conservative politics is that you cannot conservative values cannot fail. You can only fail conservative values. And if it failed, it's just because you were not conservative enough.
Well,
and so your free market example of baseball being screwed up is that you just didn't allow it to fail so bad that other baseball organizations would come up and take on it.
Yeah.
Pulling a muscle from stretching.
All right, moving on. Our listener, Julie, had this to say about Vivian and the discussion we had with her regarding the IRS scandal that we discussed recently. Julie says, love Vivian and your background comments. I watched because it was fun, and that inspired me to do a little research on this. If tax-exempt status is supposed to be denied for political groups and only awarded to social welfare groups, doesn't it make sense to investigate groups with political names? I don't think the idea was bad. It just sounds like it wasn't applied evenly. Any group with democracy or independence, etc., in the name should also have been on the top of the audit list.
Way to go, Julie.
So why, then, did somebody at the IRS feel it was necessary to plant that question and then say, we targeted conservative groups?
Well,
And they released private information. They released information about certain taxpayers that should not have been released. So talk about those two things, Rob.
Well,
we'll see. It's not a monopoly.
Can we talk about baseball? The NFLPA. Yeah. I don't know why they fessed up about how bad it was. Maybe it wasn't that bad, and I don't know why they released information. But I know that, as I said on that episode, the existence of the 501c3s that came out right after the Citizens United case created organizations that made a real fuzzy line about whether they were political or not. That they could support social causes, but not a political candidate. And if they supported a political candidate that believed in their social cause, that was okay. Sounds like the IRS is putting a little sticky spot there. And so I'm not surprised that they investigated some groups. So the question is, did they target conservative groups disproportionately? Somehow they came out and admitted that. Certain information that came out that I'll put in the reading room, which I will never put a link in the reading room. That said, they investigated liberal groups as well for saying that
you're in luck because I added that link. It'll be in the show notes.
Let's just say I added it.
It was from CNN. The headline was IRS targeting scandal reshaped by new details. And those new details were, like you said, that there were liberal groups and independent groups that were targeted. It was still out of balance. I mean, there were more conservative groups that were being scrutinized, but it wasn't exclusively conservative groups, which is the way the story was framed originally.
Indeed. Reshaped, Jeremy. Reshaped.
I guess...
It was admitted by...
Right. They admitted it themselves.
Okay, so how...
And you got to think that if they're... Anytime a group admits something terrible about themselves, they're trying to get out in front of more awfulness. You know, don't you have to
think that? Zimmerman coming out saying, yeah, I should be charged with first-degree murder.
Right.
Why would you do that?
It does bode poorly.
Okay.
Well, I guess the only thing I would say about Julie's comment is, it dovetails with what I said, in that why is anybody surprised that the IRS is scrutinizing any group? Because that's kind of their job. You know,
it's which group? Because everybody wants the IRS to scrutinize the other guy.
Well, yeah, but then you're doing the equalization that Vivian talked about in her video from last week. And that, you know, they were only targeting the conservative groups because in the past the liberal groups had been targeted.
So it's just payback.
No, there's no data to support.
Right. Don't need that. Silly data.
All right. So we posted a photo to Twitter. It was just a drawing chalkboard that said, teach your kids about income tax, eat 30% of their ice cream. And that generated a couple of comments on our Facebook page. LaDonna says, taking 30% of ice cream I probably bought them is like taxing my Social Security. Taking 30% of their Halloween candy, now that is like the income tax. I can see her point.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Right, because they didn't work to earn the ice cream.
Right. You're just giving it to them and then taking part of it back. So, yeah, it's the analogy kind of breaks apart there.
I like the Halloween candy.
Yeah.
Because supposedly they earned that, but that's from their God-given gift of cuteness and ability to dress up as a ghost and get candy. I dressed up as a ghost
or
and walk around
just
my neighborhood.
Get them off my porch. Right. Here. You're 14 and you're wearing jeans and a t-shirt. That's not a costume. Like, get off
of it. So we had another comment on the same image. Chris said, I would write it, quote, teach your children about taxes, have them travel to school without touching a public road, unquote.
Is that Chris. Public school or private school?
Here we
Chris.
Go.
Or is it Normandy or Francis Howe? Or the
next,
same.
That's next episode.
Who will build the roads? That is going to be the name of the book I write about anarchy. Because that seems to be the argument that everybody brings up first. It's like, if we got rid of government, who would build the roads?
We don't need no sticking roads.
Yeah.
Go on.
Okay, so there's no question that taxes are used to pay for roads. The question is this. Would roads exist in the absence of taxes? And the simple answer is yes. Roads have value. And the free market has shown numerous examples of roads being built for profit. So the real question is, would free roads exist in the absence of taxes? And I believe that they would. Because roads benefit people other than those traveling upon them. There are merchants who might want to get their goods to market. So they have an incentive to build the roads, to build infrastructure that is reliable and cheap to use. I mean, there's plenty of reasons that you would build roads.
For free?
And, well, if I'm Walmart, and I don't, and I build a new Walmart that's out, you know, on the edge of town, let's say, and there are no roads to get people there, am I going to make any money? No, because nobody's going to be able to get to my store.
You're going to have to pay for the road there at Walmart to get to your store.
That's my point.
Right. So there's no free... Oh.
They pay for the road
free
so that you can get to
the
their
user.
Store
free.
And buy their stuff.
For you,
it's
right.
built into the price, or they absorb it, and then over time, it's whatever.
So, but, I mean, there's plenty of ways to imagine that, you know, the roads would get built and get paid for. And even if they didn't, you know what? There's nothing wrong with a toll road. You're using the road, you should pay for it.
Maybe you have to answer a riddle or three riddles.
Maybe.
What is our name?
Okay, so that's my response to Chris. And I would welcome, you know, any reply that Chris might want to make to that. Or anybody else, for that matter.
Yeah.
Send us your feedback. Send us your comments. We'd love to hear them. Join us on follow us on Twitter or on Facebook. You can leave a comment on our website. You can leave comments on our YouTube channel too. We've got bunch of videos out there now to entertain you, especially Vivian.
We didn't do so well tonight with the man on the street.
That's okay.
Night is young.
Night is young. You got any stories there in the reading room you want to talk about?
One that I posted was the Red Dawn reality, Russian troops to provide security in the USA.
That ain't right.
That was kind of an interesting article.
I didn't read that one. What was it about?
Essentially a recent agreement that under certain, let's say there's a national, some kind of disaster or some situation.
The phone keeps blinking at me. It's distracting.
I just turned it over. There were certain situations where we signed an agreement that Russian troops would provide security in the United States.
That's hard to believe.
It is difficult to believe.
Is this a WorldNet Daily article?
No.
Where'd you get this?
It's right on there.
Was it on Drudge?
Beaufort Observer.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure it wasn't security at the Iron Maiden reunion concert or something.
No. Go read the article. Oh, Jeremy, you're being ridiculous.
You and your Beaufort Observer.
Okay, so I got a one or two here I want to mention. So they're bringing Crossfire back on CNN.
How about that?
Yeah, I don't know if you heard
Tucker
that.
Tucker Carlson going to do it?
No. They've got a new host. She is a former Fox News reporter / anchor.
So she's blonde.
I don't know. Is she blonde? Yeah, I don't know.
What's her name?
S.E. Cup.
Oh, she was on Bill Maher the other day.
Was she?
I believe.
She
yeah.
blonde?
I'm trying. Yeah, she is.
Of course she is.
She's a Fox.
I don't like Bill Maher.
I only mention that because one of my favorite comedians, Jon Stewart, was responsible for Crossfire going off the air several years back. And so I sent a tweet to Essie Cup letting her know that Jon Stewart would be watching her and that she better bring it, otherwise he's going to shut her down. So
how did he end the Crossfire? I didn't know
that. Oh, there's a link in the show notes. You have to watch his. He appeared on Crossfire,
okay.
and basically made both the hosts look like complete idiots. And after that, their ratings plummeted.
What was the lady's name? Hold on, I can't think of it.
Okay.
She hosted a presidential debate.
Candy Crowley.
No.
Gwen Ifill.
There you go. Was she on Crossfire?
No. So it's on Washington Week, the most boring show of all shows.
Interesting article here about a family in Nevada who claims that the local police violated the Third Amendment, which you don't hear about too often. You don't hear about the Third Amendment being violated very often. And that is the one that forbids the stationing of troops in people's homes during times of war. But
interesting article. I posted that one.
Did you?
I did.
Okay.
Smart.
Smart man.
Okay. In conclusion, I just want to wish Edward Snowden the best of luck in getting out of the transit zone there in Moscow and making it to Caracas or wherever you're headed.
Viva la Cuba.
Yes. Havana. Grab some cigars on the way. Don't fly through U.S. airspace or they will shoot your plane down and make it look like an accident.
that someone's going to have a heart attack on the flight. And right. then when that happens, it's going to be a secret agent who's faking a heart attack over right. Florida. They're going to land a plane for emergency purposes.
Right.
And then, bow that guy.
Nice. Good plan.
I see a drone strike in his future.
All right. That's probably it.
All right.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks to GC for hosting us once again. And we'll see you next time.
Good night.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.